recording lesson, especially for you ladies. I'm going to do my last one on the book of Revelation. Bob preached one more sermon on Revelation, so I thought I'd do one more on the book of Revelation. And my topic is according to what they have done. So let's open with prayer. Our Father God, I thank you for this blessing of your word that we can hold fast to, that we can be blessed by reading it and studying it and knowing it. And I pray your blessing on us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. From Revelation 22, verses 12 through 14. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. You know, our ladies' Bible study tonight, I'm recording this on Wednesday evening. Our ladies' Bible study tonight, we started a new book, 12 Women of the Bible, and our first lesson was tonight, and it was the first woman in the Bible. It was Eve. And you notice in this verse, verse 14, that if you get to heaven, you have the right to eat of the tree of life. And Eve got in trouble for eating a tree, a fruit from a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of life was also in the garden, but that wasn't the one that caused her problems. But I'm trying to focus on that phrase, I will give to each person according to what they have done. A lot of people have different assumptions about what's going to ensure that they have a place in heaven. And we know that you get to heaven by accepting Christ as your Savior and doing God's will. Now, there's two things that a lot of Christians and a whole lot of non-Christians think matter to God, but are insignificant compared to doing God's will. And we want to clear those up right away. The first one is hearing the Word of God. A lot of people think if I just listen to sermons and listen to teaching tapes, and if I watch videos on YouTube, and if I listen to recordings from the church, or if I just read the Bible, then I'm gonna get to heaven. But here's what James says in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Don't just listen. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, James makes it pretty clear here that it's not just listening to God's word. It's not just memorizing Bible verses. It's not just knowing the books of the Bible. It's not knowing about the Word of God. It's doing the Word of God. And what you need to ask yourself, it's the most important thing to ask yourself about God's Word. Do I put into action what I have studied? Because if you don't put it into action, it doesn't do you any good. So a lot of people think that reading God's word and studying God's word matters, but that's not as significant as doing God's will, doing God's word. A second thing that people think matter that's insignificant as far as God's concerned is claiming to know Jesus, especially when you don't. You can know about Jesus without knowing Jesus. You can know about Jesus without Jesus knowing you. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So here Jesus is making it very plain that the most important thing is that you know him and he knows you. Let me read that for you from the Message. The Message is not a literal translation, but sometimes it gives us insight because it is so culturally relevant. Knowing the correct password, saying Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Pretty amusing way to put it, but it's reality. You can do all you want in the name of Jesus, but if you only claim to know Jesus and you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, as your Master and King, it doesn't matter what you do or say in his name. It's knowing Jesus and him knowing you that will matter on the day when you stand before God. So, why is doing God's will important? First reason doing God's will is important is because doing God's will is the base rock of Christian character. From Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus is talking about Christian character here. You can't fool God with Christian character. He goes on in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Doing his will. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. You remember that song you might have learned as a child? The wise man built his house upon the rock. And then the second verse, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. That's where that song comes from. And if we're going to teach that song to kids, we need to teach them the spiritual significance is that doing God's will is the base rock of Christian character. You need to build your character around obedience to the will of God. Number two, doing God's will is essential to membership in God's family. Matthew 12:46-50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak to you." Jesus replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You want to be part of God's family? You have to do God's will. Plain and simple. You're not going to get to heaven because your mother or father was a good Christian. You're not going to get to heaven because your brother or sister was a good Christian. You're going to get to heaven because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and because you do God's will, and that puts you in God's family. Doing God's will is the key to spiritual knowledge. That's the third thing. John 7:14-19. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law, yet not one of you keeps the law? Why are you trying to kill me?" You want spiritual knowledge? Do God's will. Jesus said, once again, verse 17, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." You want to know God's teachings? Do his will. John 3:3. This was pointed out to me a long time ago, and I've held on to this, and it's in the back of my mind all the time. "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." You can't know spiritual truth unless you're born again. Doing God's will is the key to spiritual knowledge. Number four, doing God's will secures the blessing of divine fellowship. John 14:23-24. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." You want to have fellowship with God? You want to feel God close to you? You want to feel the Holy Spirit in your life? You want to feel that you know Jesus and Jesus knows you? Then get about doing God's will. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." You want fellowship with God? Do God's will. Be an obedient servant. Listen to your master's call and obey, and God will come to you. Just a couple more passages in conclusion. John 13:12-17. This is in the upper room, right before Jesus and the disciples. have their Passover meal. The disciples come to the meal with dirty, dusty feet. And as any good host, Jesus gets up with a towel and a basin and washes their feet. We pick it up in verse 12 of John 13. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Blessed if you do them. God's blessings come upon us when we do God's will, when we follow Christ's example. Now, sometimes people say, "I wouldn't do that. That's beneath me. That's not the example Christ set. I wouldn't associate with that person. That's not the example Christ set. I wouldn't forgive that kind of person. That's not the example Christ set. I would not make friends with that kind of a person. That's not the example Christ set. You will be blessed if you follow Christ's example." And from 1 John 2:15 through 17. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Whoever does the will of God lives forever. From Revelation 22, remember? "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." Think about it. Are you doing God's will? I hope you are. For a closing prayer, I'd like to read this prayer from Ephesians. I think it's very appropriate. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how high, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen."
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we're currently meeting at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Check out our website at cocep.org for current info on services and social distancing guidelines. Have a great week.